As you partake of those elements, what you're saying is, Lord, I believe you. And I want to encourage you and challenge you as you continue to ask for that breakthrough or that miracle. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. Because through it all, it can still be well with our soul. Amen? Amen. You could be seated this morning. Thank you for worshiping with us. Thank you for pressing in to what God has for us. I believe he's not done yet. And there are days that you circle on a calendar and you're excited for and you can't wait for. And today is one of those days because I get to introduce to you someone who's brand new to us. And Jake and Jamie Blair are Chi Alpha missionaries that are working at USD in Vermilion. And we started partnering with them back in April or May. I don't remember, but it's just been real recent. And we're excited to have them today. They're going to share more about who they are and the ministry that God's called them to. But we're not going to introduce them right yet because we're going to let a video introduce them. And so if you want to turn your attention to the screen, and then they're going to come and share.
Coming from an atheist background, I know there's no one that can tell me there is no God.
These past few years have tested my faith.
A few months ago, I was ready to give up.
I have lost people that were really close to me, as well as being hurt by people I love.
I know the Lord wants me in the missions field for the rest of my life.
God showed me that no matter what is going on in my life, he will never leave our side.
I'm never going back.
I know that my trust in God will not waver.
I am looking at it as my mission field, and no matter what
happens, I'm going to trust in God. My heart was completely wrecked, and I heard the voice of the Lord speak clearly. God revealed so much to me.
I know that he is making a way for me. I'm going to continue to do work with my Father in heaven.
I know now that I am armed to do God's work. God shined a light on someone who brought me to Chi Alpha in my life.
My life has been forever changed. Not only do I feel called, but I'm now living in greater sense and awe of God.
I was created for much greater things than I ever thought possible. I will do my part in bringing on the greatest student awakening the world has ever seen.
Our mission is to reconcile students to Christ.
Join us in transforming the university, the marketplace, and the world.
We are Chi Alpha.
So that's a little bit about what we do. I'll talk first. We're really excited to be here this morning. Thanks for letting us come, Pastor. Talk to you folks about what we're going to do at the University of South Dakota to reach students there. First, I'm going to tell a little bit about myself. My name is Jake. I grew up on a farm in southwest Missouri. If I say holler or y'all, you'll have to excuse me because that's just where I grew up. Grew up on a farm. I love Jesus. My great-grandma founded the church that I grew up in. My whole family, about 40 of us, went there. It was a great childhood, really good family. I was a pretty good athlete in high school. I played baseball. And so but either I was hunting or playing baseball my whole high school career, stayed out of trouble. I got to college. And I was good enough, I got to go to college for free and play baseball there, which was really great, except that the college I went to didn't have any kind of Christian community at all. So what I did while I was there was I played baseball, and I practiced a lot, and I hung out with my friends who were all on the baseball team. So basically, it was one big fraternity is what it really turns into whenever that's your only friend group is all these guys that play baseball. So my junior year of college, I walked away from the Lord. I started doing a lot of stupid things, and it took me almost 8 years to come back to Jesus from that point. So too many bad decisions to talk about all of them, but I'm thankful that God called me back. I got tired of living this life where I felt guilt every morning I woke up. I knew that I should be doing, living a life that was better than that. But for some reason, I didn't for all those years. So anyway, came back to Jesus. Not long after that, my cousin was getting married, which was a great thing. She was marrying a nice guy, and I went to the wedding where I met this lovely lady sitting on the second row at my cousin's wedding. So we started dating not long after that, and I got to see, she was already involved in Chi Alpha, and she was just going full-time when we met. So I got to start hanging out. I tell people that I was the creepy guy in the back, the creepy old guy in the back. She's working with Chi Alpha, and I just wanted to know what it was because I didn't understand. There was no Christian ministry where I went to college, so I would stand in the back, and I'd figure out what was going on. Well, I started volunteering then and helping wherever I could, and I just really realized that what was missing in my college career was what all these students were getting. We're at a public university where God is not revered. You know, professors are trying to convince people that what they believe is false, and it's really an environment that is difficult to minister in. But these students were growing in their faith while going to a public university. So it's not just that they can go there and survive as Christians and get out. It's that they can go and their faith can be deepened throughout their whole career while they're in school. It was a really an amazing, amazing thing to me. So I got involved in 2016, in January. We actually weren't quite married yet. I felt like God was asking me to go pioneer a ministry somewhere, start something new. In a place that didn't have one, just like the college I went to. Thankfully, it does have one now, so we didn't go there. But we started praying about where we should go. And so I had lived in Colorado for a couple years, and I worked on a big ranch out there, and I loved Colorado. And I thought, well, it'd be nice to go there. So we started praying about a couple universities there. Prayed about a couple universities in Missouri, which is where I was from. Jamie's actually from North Dakota. She may tell you that in a little bit. But so... about 10 years ago, they had gone to a conference, and during that conference, they had put all of the university campuses, all of their hats across the front of the stage, and they called up, it was our entire area, so they called up students to come grab their hat off the stage and take it back. So after all the students had come and taken the hat from their universities, there was all the hats from South Dakota and Iowa were still up there. So there was no Chi Alpha in either of those states at that point. There have been some, and some have left, and right now we know there is another one going on at SDSU. They're keeping it strong there. But Iowa now has five campus ministries with full-time staff, and then we're the first in South Dakota with full-time staff that's devoted to the campus. So we're really excited about that. Chi Alpha, our whole discipleship model is based on, we call it PBR, personal relationship with Jesus, brotherhood, and a real community. So these three things are really critical for what we do. We focus on four different areas that are four different types of students. So we've got students who came from a church like this who are strong Christians when they got to school, and we want to be able to protect the investment the church has made in them, and we want them to grow throughout their college years. We reach out to students who have never, I had a student last year who had heard the name of Jesus but had no idea who he was or what he had done. So we meet students who are on the very ground level of just not knowing anything about the Lord. We also have, last year I got to minister to guys from Pakistan and India. We meet a lot of international students, and one of them is getting his doctorate in some bovine genetics. He's a veterinarian with a lot of influence in Pakistan. The other guy is actually getting his master's in, he's going to be an electrical engineer, but he works for NASA doing cube satellites that research hurricanes. So he has a lot of influence with the science community and with NASA. So it's just these international students that come here, they're the ones that are excelling in their country, and so they're sent here for a better education. And a lot of these places, like India, for instance, we can't I couldn't leave here and go there and be a missionary. They won't let you. You have to go there as a business owner and then try to minister out of that. You know, that's how it's being done right now there. But they're sending them to us, and we get an opportunity to minister. Another area we focus on is future business leaders, future leaders of our country. For instance, the guy there in the picture, his name's Brett, one of my good friends. He works for Hershen Entertainment, which I don't know if any of you know Silver Dollar City or the Globetrotters. They own both of those. So he's in marketing with them, and he started out as a student leader, and he at Chi Alpha, and he basically said that is what has launched his career, is understanding what responsibility is and how to take criticism and he's developed that through the discipleship of Chi Alpha. So really excited to introduce, we have seven people on our team. Right now, we're going to skip one slide. I went a little out of order, but we have seven people coming. Jamie and myself, we've got two guys coming in the spring. One of them also is named Jacob, actually, there in the middle in the black shirt. And then Nick Devis. So they've both graduated this last year. So they're coming to join us and help full time. And then next year, we've got Jess there in the front. And then the couple with the little cute baby, they're coming. They're moving here from Colorado to help us. So there'll be a total of seven people trying to reach the campus at USD. There's about 10,200 students, and of those 10,200, there are about 90 involved in any kind of student ministry. So we do the math, and that's less than 1%. There are a couple of student ministries there. There's an FCA, but really there's just not, there's only one other full-time staff of any campus ministry on the whole campus, and it's just one other guy. So really the campus is very unreached, and it's quite liberal. We really are excited to help people there meet Jesus. Right now we're in the process. We call it year zero in Chi Alpha. What it looks like is that from the outside, it doesn't look like much is going on. So we're wrapping up our support raising, which we actually are just right on the cusp of being fully funded. We've got a little bit more to raise just for our ministry budget. So we're working on that portion now. But year zero is a time where we have to connect with the administration of the school. We have to find a staff member who will be a sponsor. We have to find a student who's willing to help us start and be the president of the club to start. So it is a student organization. So we're there to facilitate, but it's the students are the ones that run this. So we're excited to get that going. But right now, like I said, it's just the two of us there. We're kind of figuring out the lay of the campus and exactly how we're going to tackle this thing. We'll have two more in January. We'll do a soft launch next semester. So we're each going to go out on campus and just try to meet as many people as we can. The qualifications we look for, I usually get a laugh out of this one, and no offense, we look for fat people. We call them faithful, available, and teachable. Those are the three qualifications for a person who can become a disciple maker, those people who are faithful, available, and teachable. When we each find one of those, we're gonna invest a lot of time next semester. Each of us hopes to find one of those people. And what that will do is set us up with eight people, and then three more come, so we'll have 11. It's hard to invite students to something that will be fun when there are no people. So we have to build slow. Otherwise, we under-deliver. If we invite people, we want them to all, you know, we want everyone to come over for a barbecue, and then there's six people there, and four of them are staff, or five, then it's really hard. It's hard to hold on. So that's the goal. We're going to build slow. We're going to go deep. And then the goal ultimately is to grow the ministry at the University of South Dakota large enough that we can have a CMIT, which is a campus minister in training. It's an internship program that'll be a year long. Through that internship program, the student can actually get licensed through the Assembly of God. They can, that will be on campus another year with us, so that helps our staff grow. And ultimately, we want to send those people to other campuses in the state. So there are many other campuses that need Chi Alpha, that need a ministry that can reach out to students, and that can teach people to disciple, not only while they're in college, but from then on. You know, that in their vocation, we want people to understand how to befriend someone and to show them the love of Christ. And not just invite them, but invest in them before they invite. That's how you get a response that says yes, instead of just a cold invite. So anyway, that's basically what we're doing. I'm going to turn it over to Jamie. She's gonna preach, and I think she's going to sit on that stool up there.
This might be my favorite place to come so far. Because I can sit on a stool, and it's great. And we are married, but my ring hasn't fit this week, so I'm also missing that. So I'm sitting on a stool. I don't have to wear my ring this morning, and we're excited to have a baby coming in November. Excited for this baby to get here. So Jake got to share a bit about Chi Alpha, and I'm going to wrap that into my message a little bit as well as we kind of bring it in for a close, but just wanted to introduce myself as well, and it's great to be here in Huron. Thank you, Pastor Tom and Christy, for having us. Like Jake said, I grew up in North Dakota in Ellendale, and so I knew Tom and Christy as they were students, and we all looked a little different back then, me especially. But as well as the Mullins, it's great to see you, Keith, here. Our family are friends with the Mullin family and grew up around the corner. So just it's great to see them doing so well here in Huron and doing great things. But you guys are already supporting us in what we're doing on the campus, and we appreciate that so, so much. And I'm always excited to share about what God's doing in campus ministry, but today we just really wanted to tie that in with what God is doing in the local church in missions. And your church is a giving church. I know my grandparents used to be U.S. missionaries with Native American ministries, and this church was one of the churches that supported them as they were doing that. And you continue to do that, and each one of you has a part in that. So, like I said, I grew up in North Dakota, and my call to missions just kind of came gradually as I was a kid. I grew up just loving Jesus, having parents who loved him with all of their hearts, and showed me really well how to love Jesus and what it looks like to live a life in love with him. And I remember any time a missionary would come like this, Jake got all the pictures, actually. My slides aren't going to be quite as beautiful because he got all the pictures. But I remember getting so excited anytime that a missionary came to see the pictures and hear the crazy stories and look at their outfits and hear about miracles that are happening in other parts of the world, people being delivered from diseases and from all kinds of oppression. Missions was exciting to me, and I just would get so, so excited to hear what was happening. But I remember another feeling that I would have when we would talk about missions as well, and that was this feeling of, man, this is way too big for me. Have you guys ever felt that feeling of something that God is calling you to and something that God is placing before you and thinking, man, that's just way too big. I don't think I'm big enough for that. And so that was the other feeling that I had, just this excitement for missions and this realization that it's too big for me to step into. But I did feel called, and so as I was a teenager, I started making preparation to become a missionary and was asking the Lord where he wanted me to go. Eventually, after going on some missions trips and discovering Chi Alpha, just kind of like Jake mentioned, seeing what God could do through the lives of students on a secular university, that's when I realized the Lord was calling me to be a missionary right here in the United States. But the thing that I have realized over and over again now, as I think about missions, it's the fact that missions is not about whether you're big enough for what's put in front of you. Missions is about obedience to God's heart. And that's something that I really want us to take hold of today, that the Lord is placing big things in front of us, and he's calling us to a life of obedience. So we're going to talk about this obedient heart that God wants us to have for a few moments this morning. We're going to go to Numbers 13 and 14, and I'm not going to read the whole story, but I would encourage you to go home and read it on your own, because there are a lot of details that are really fascinating that we're not going to get to today, just kind of breezing over it. But the background of this story Moses has led the people of Israel out of Egypt, and they're returning to Canaan, the place that God had called them back to and said, I'm going to give this place as your inheritance. He's calling them back, and now they have to come up with a strategy for going in and taking the land that God has promised to them. So Moses sends in 12 people, 12 spies to see what it's like and come up with a strategy here. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 17. And it says, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are the trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. And it was the season for the first ripe grapes. And so here we see that Moses gives very specific questions for these spies to answer as they're going into the land. And then he sends them out. And when they come back, 10 of the spies come back. And they don't just answer the questions that Moses gives them. They're not just giving a report on the good and the bad, just the basic assessment. They are giving their opinion that, hello, we don't think we can take this land, okay? And it really makes you think about those thoughts and those responses that we have. Sometimes God is just asking us to come up with a plan, trusting what he's going to do, and that's what these 10 spies were supposed to do. Joshua and Caleb, instead, they said, no, we're going to do something about this. And so we pick this up in the next verses. Verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses, and he said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. And in the next few verses, chapter 14, verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes, and they said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And I'm just going to summarize the rest of the story. At that point, the people get very angry with Joshua and Caleb. They threaten to stone them. And so the Lord gets angry with the people, and he says, because of your attitudes and your disbelief that we can do this, you're not going to be allowed in, and your children are going to be the one who are going to see the promise fulfilled. And really, do go back and read those chapters at home, because there's just so much that can be pulled out from here. But I want to bring a couple of lessons about stepping in to the vision this morning. The first lesson that we can look at is that a promise from God often requires a response from man. Now, when you think about the promises that God gives us in the Bible, some of them are unconditional. Some of them are just, God said this, period. You think about the rainbow that God put in the sky after the flood, and he said, never again will I destroy the earth with a flood, period. There are no conditions. There's some other promises that have conditions that say, if this happens in your life, then I will do this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek their face and pray, then will I turn from heaven and will heal their land. That has a condition. That's one of those promises that says, if you do this, I will. And it requires participation from us. And I would say that many of the promises that the Lord has placed in our lives today, and we were talking this morning about things being impossible, and the things that the Lord has called us to believe in that can happen, those require a step of faith from each one of us. And so I want to encourage you this morning, as you're thinking about those promises that the Lord has placed in your life, don't let the enemy steal what God has promised for you. The only thing that stands in the way of us seeing those promises is our belief and our response. So God deserves the glory for what he can do. Man, we should step into those promises so that we can see what God might do and so that we can be encouraged when we see the fruit of it. The second lesson that we can see is that Joshua and Caleb recognized the enormity of the challenges, but they didn't focus on them. God is calling us to focus on truth, not on the obstacles. Joshua and Caleb knew that there were giants in this land. They knew that the walls were fortified. They knew it was going to be such a challenge to come into these cities and take them over. But they also knew who had called them, and they knew the promises that the Lord had given them. And so stepping into a call that God has placed on you, whether it be into missions, you know, whether God's calling you to say, okay, I think I need to go for the first time on a mission trip, or maybe I need to start praying for God to work through missions. Maybe I need to start giving toward missions. And maybe, and I think this applies to all of us, maybe God has brought a mission field right here that he's calling me to step into that I have not seen, that I haven't experienced, that he's wanting me to step into. That call, whether it be toward missions like I'm talking about at this moment, or you might know something very specific in your life that God is placing and holding in your heart right now. It may feel big, but God is calling you today to focus on the character of the one who called you and of the end goal of stepping into that vision rather than focusing on the insecurities, the discomfort, and the challenges that stepping out will involve. Our next lesson that we can see is that Joshua and Caleb got behind the vision of their leaders when others stirred up a bad report. And think about this. Joshua and Caleb saw the same thing that everybody else did, but they knew who had called them, and they trusted their leaders, and they said, okay, we're going to get involved in this. And there are so many things that I know are taking place here at this church, and I want to encourage you guys to step into what God is doing right here at Restoration Church. Let that be your first step. And see what God will do with that. We have a pastor who would say often, find out where God is moving and jump in. So if you know that God is moving here, and I sense that he is, and God has called each one of you here to this place, jump all in. Don't hold back. Take that next step to be involved in what God's doing here. Another thing that one of our pastors would say often is that it's easier to steer a moving vehicle than a parked car. And so if you can sense that your car is parked this morning in your soul, put it into gear. You don't have to know where you're going yet. The Lord will steer it if you are just willing to jump in. Our last lesson from this story is that obedience matters and attitude is everything. When I think about Joshua and Caleb, we see that God rewarded their obedience and trust. They were the ones who trusted what God said and backed it up with their actions. Think about Joshua, who was the one who would lead the entire nation of Israel into the land of Canaan. Man, the Lord used him mightily in so many incredible ways. And then there's a verse later in this chapter in Numbers 14, and I don't have this on the screen for you, but I want to read it to you. Numbers 14, 24, this is God talking about Caleb. And it says, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. I don't know about you, but that is something I would want the Lord to say of me, that my servant has a different spirit and has followed me wholeheartedly. I think this is something to really examine in our hearts this morning and ask the Lord, am I following you wholeheartedly? Do I have a different spirit? And let the Lord cultivate that in us because he wants to move mightily through you. He wants to move mightily through each person in this place, and he desires to put a different spirit in you. Let that be said of each one of us, I pray. Tying this in, when I think about God's call to missions for Christians today, it's very similar to when he brought the Israelites into the land of Canaan. So he's bringing them to a new place, but he's saying, in order for this promise to be experienced, you're going to have to step into it. And in Matthew 28, Jesus gives a commission to all believers to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So now we are faced with this task of stepping into that call. And it may be big, but but God is calling you to step into it. And so the question this morning is, whose attitude are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the 10 who didn't believe and who missed out on the promise? Or are you going to follow Joshua and Caleb, have a different spirit, who stepped out and saw God's promises fulfilled and received an inheritance when they stepped into the land? God has an inheritance for us in calling people to him through missions today. And he's asking you to step out, I believe, in some way or another this morning. And as much as I love talking about missions and what God's doing in Chi Alpha, I love it, I think, most of all because campus ministry and missions just go hand in hand from the beginning of their history in the United States. And I just want to encourage you guys with how God is challenging Chi Alpha today in the area of missions. And it all goes back to the 1800s, a little while back. And in the 1800s, revival just started breaking out on college campuses. And when I first think about this, I think, oh yeah, that should happen. You know, people were good back then and they loved the Lord, but that's actually not the case. In the early 1800s, following the American Revolution, America was spiritually bankrupt. It was a horrible climate morally. Things were taking place that would rival what takes place here in our cities today. And the campuses of the universities looked very much like it looks today. A hostility toward the things of God, and just a desire to put out everything of God that they could. And so miraculously, as these revivals started taking place on these campuses, the Lord started doing something, started shaping some things. At Williams College in 1806, a group of students had been praying twice a week for revival. One day, with five students gathered, their leader began sharing his heart for missions and the necessity of students from Christian nations to give their lives to go to unreached nations if the unreached were ever to hear the gospel. And a phrase that we would have expected to hear would be, "We will do it if we can." This thought of, okay, if the ability is there, if we can do it, we will do it. But Samuel Mills wasn't questioning the ability of these students to reach the unreached. Instead, he challenged their willingness, and he said, "We can do it if we will." It was the willingness that was in question that morning. And so that group of students took the challenge, and they graduated. And the first mission societies started being born from this group of students. They went on to the foreign mission field because of a prayer group on a college campus. And from that group, we saw the birth of the student volunteer movement. One of those team members prayed, "Lord, would you raise up 1,000 college students to go into another country and to share the gospel?" That was his prayer. And years later, that same man's son would be the one who would start up the student volunteer movement. And through that, we've seen 20,000 college students go into the mission field. And so missions is in the heart of campus ministry. And today, Chi Alpha has said, this is where our heart must be as well. As we are reaching students on this campus, we need to send them out as missionaries. And so we've taken up those watchwords, "We can do it if we will." And challenging our students to have the willingness to go there. Today, we're challenging students to give a year to missions after graduating and to pray about giving a lifetime. And it's so exciting to me to think about that. We know that every student isn't going to become a missionary, but our heart is that they would have a heart for missions, that they will live on mission not only as students, but after graduating. And so our missions motto in Chi Alpha is this: every student goes. That means at some point in their college career, every student who is part of Chi Alpha probably will go on at least one mission trip. Every student gives. We challenge our students to start giving when they think that they have no money, so that when they maybe actually don't have money later, they still are giving. They still are making a priority of giving toward missions. Every student prays. The things that God has to do around the world cannot happen unless we are praying. And so we're instilling in our students the value of praying for what God has to do
and finally, every student welcomes. And this refers specifically to the fact that we have international students coming onto our college campuses, and the fact that God is calling each one of our college students to welcome international students and introduce them to the Lord and raise them up to be disciple makers, whether they stay in the United States or get sent back into their countries. So this is why Jake and I are in Chi Alpha, because we've seen these life-changing things, and we have a vision for this movement to just take off. Like Jake said, we desire for there to be a Chi Alpha at every university in some form or fashion. We desire to send teams into these places, and our vision is to reconcile students to Christ, to reach the lost, disciple the faithful, to welcome international students, and to raise up leaders so that they can be equipped to be the ones who will transform the university and the marketplace and the world. And so as I close up and get ready to turn this back over to Pastor Tom, I just have a couple of challenges for you this morning. The first is find out where God is moving and be a part of it. Really pray about what it is that God wants you to get in gear in your life so that he can start steering that vehicle. And when it comes to missions, man, don't get comfortable. Whatever you've been doing, think about, okay, what's the next step for me? Is it praying for missions? Is it giving for missions? Is it going on a mission trip if we have an opportunity coming around the corner? Or is it welcoming people that God has placed right here into this place? And I think it could be a combination of those things. And finally, if you're a student who's getting ready to go to college, I would just challenge you to really consider the spiritual atmosphere of the place that you're going to and look for a ministry that is geared toward discipleship and missions. You can live on mission as a college student. We're so thankful to be here this morning and for the opportunity to share with you. And we're going to be in the back afterward. If you'd like to follow what we're doing, we've got a Facebook group and we'd love to invite you to it. So you can just write your name on a clipboard that we have back there if you want to be a part of that Facebook group. And if you desire to partner with us through prayer or finances, we would love to talk more with you about that as well. So thank you so much, Pastor Tom. Thank you, Restoration.
All right. If you haven't had a chance to give in the offering today, there is a basket here. So after we dismiss in a moment, you can feel free to bring that. If you're making out a check, make it out to Restoration Church and we'll pass one check on to them so that Jake and Jamie can be fully funded and ready for this group. And one of the things I loved all that you guys shared, but one of the things that really just struck me in my mind, the phrase that wasn't a new phrase that Jake shared, was that these college campuses they're very anti-God, but students aren't going into Chi Alpha ministries and onto those campuses to just survive their college experience. They're beginning to thrive and they're beginning to deepen their faith. And I'll be honest, I didn't know much about Chi Alpha a couple years ago. In fact, Jake and Jamie came to a presbyter's meeting before they went to Colorado to introduce themselves to us, say, hey, we want to come to USD. We got to go here to get trained, and we want to come here. And through that interview, I started having conversations with other presbyters and found out Chi Alpha isn't just any college ministry you want to have, and you slap a name on it and say Chi Alpha because we're Assemblies of God, so it's called Chi Alpha. They actually have a structure and a system that is about building disciples and teaching these students to disciple other students so that when they get out of college, they do that in real life. And there's a book called Small Group University that I read, downloaded to my Kindle, and I read it, and I gave it to Pastor Mark because I'm like, we're going to plant a church. You said that there are campuses in South Dakota that need Chi Alpha. I think all of our churches need Chi Alpha because it teaches us to be a part of what God is doing right now and actually put into practice the things that Scripture calls us to do anyway, and I love it. And so if you just a plug for the book Small Group University, if you want to read it, it maybe will fire up your faith a little bit more too. And so, but I'd encourage you to stop by the table as you leave today. And if you want more information, we try to pass on some information from our global partners, but We always encourage you to sign up for the newsletters and the emails and the Facebook posts that come directly from them so you can stay informed and know how to pray for them more specifically. So let's go ahead and stand together. We're going to pray, and I'm going to dismiss you. And again, if you haven't given in the offering yet, especially for Jake and Jamie, I encourage you to do that before you go. And so, Father, I just say thank you today for all of the things that you have spoken into our hearts today. God, I thank you for the ways that you're moving in our city. God, for the ways that you're moving in our state. God, I know that you looked down a long time ago and saw all of these college campuses here in South Dakota and realized there wasn't much going on and there wasn't much of a presence of student ministries on many of those campuses. And God, you began to stir things and you began to put things and dreams into people's hearts. And God, we thank you that that's beginning to take root. Thank you that we have a part in that. God, thank you that we can come alongside Jake and Jamie. We can partner with them financially. We can partner with them in prayer. And God, we can expect to see a Chi Alpha on every campus in South Dakota. God, that's such a huge task. But we know nothing is impossible for you. And we know that's what's in your heart because your heart is reaching every person that's on every campus in every city across the state. And so, God, we want to be a part of what you're doing. And I pray that if you're speaking to people in this room today to take a step of faith in that area that maybe is bigger than they think they can take, God, I pray that you'd give them the boldness to just respond to you in faith today. God, that you'd remove that fear of failure and just help them to take that step. God, thank you for the ways that you challenged us from your word today. God, to remind us that the way we see things isn't always the way you see them. And so I pray that faith would stir in our hearts today as we go into our workplace, as we go into our communities, as we go throughout this week ahead. God, that we wouldn't just see the problems and the difficulties that are all around us, but God, that we would look for where you are at work. We believe you're at work. We believe that you're at work trying to reach the crankiest people in our workplace. God, we believe you have a heart for them. And so help us not to align ourselves with the enemy. Help us not to align ourselves with the flesh and the way that we feel about things. But Holy Spirit, align our hearts, our minds, and our eyes with what you're doing. So thank you for the things that you've spoken to us today. God, I pray your blessing over this body today. I pray that you would bless them and keep them. May your face shine on them. God, may you lift up your countenance upon them, give them peace. God, be gracious to them today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go today. Thanks for being here.